everybody. Hello, hello. This is S. Anthony Thomas. This is the S. Anthony Thomas Show. And, you know, what I wanted to do with this episode, I get a lot of questions, and I'm going to start answering them. But there's one question I get way more than any other question. And I think anybody in the arts, any person, I think anybody in any particular profession gets the same question. It's always people wanting to find out what made you realize this is what you wanted to do and what made you realize you were good enough to continue to pursue this particular thing. And I wanted to let everybody know what the story was because so many people have asked me the question. So in this particular episode, that's exactly what I'm going to do. I'm going to answer that question finally, and I hope you enjoy because I think it's a pretty good story. So, are you ready? Of course you are. Let's do it. All right, everybody. Thank you for stopping back. I want to answer some of the questions that I've gotten. One of the people that listens to this, I didn't get permission to use your name, so I'm not going to, asked me, when did I know that this is what I wanted to do, meaning podcasting, meaning comedy? And one of my relatives said to me a long time ago, they said, whatever you're doing when you're around 8 or 9 years old, that's what you're going to be doing for the rest of your life, which is very, very true. You know, when I was 8 or 9 years old, I was writing jokes, and I was 8 and 9 years old, I was recording bits into cassette recorders because that's what we had back then, because yes, I'm that old. Don't judge me. And I would, you know, do these little sketches and characters and things of that nature into the recorders and run around, and I would play them for my relatives. And as I got a little older, I started to do stand-up as a young teenager, and you know, the rest is history. But the funny thing about it is sometimes when you do things, you don't really know if it's just going to be something that's a hobby. You don't know if you're good enough to do it as a career. You just don't know. And I figured out that comedy was what I needed to do and what I wanted to do early on. And it wasn't when I first got on the stage in 86. It wasn't that. It was something that happened a little while later on. And up until that point, I hadn't had any real adversity on stage. It was a pretty smooth ride. But I took a job, one of many times I've done this, at a strip club. And what happens is, as a comic, I'm thinking, because I'm naive, and I wasn't even really old enough to be in the building in the first place. I walked on, and a couple of times it went okay back when I did it before, and I was able to turn it around. But those audiences were kind of receptive in a way anyway. They kind of took pity on me. But one specific place, oh, they weren't trying to hear that. Oh, they didn't want to hear that. And I'm naive enough at the time to think that I'm going to go on stage. It's going to be like, you know, like it was at the other places. It's going to be like it was at the comedy club. The lady's going to dance. I'm going to go on the stage. I'm going to tell my jokes, and everyone's going to be receptive to it, and it's going to be a great thing, and it's going to be incredible. No. Lady's on stage, and she's fantastic. Just a beautiful, incredible woman, you know, and this is a nice, classy joint. That's what I'm thinking, because I've never, how many strip clubs have you been in at 17 and 18 years old, right? This is the classy place. I'm sure they're going to be nice to me. Lady's on stage. She's doing her thing. She's got the feathers going, and she's dancing and got the music and the little pyrotechnic thing going, and she's doing her thing, and the guy's, yeah! You know? And she walks to the edge of the groove, and guys are putting money in, right? You know, and then they know better than actually to touch the ladies, because the two bouncers are literally bigger than the building. I don't know how they got inside. Maybe the building's like a TARDIS. That's a Doctor Who reference for my nerdy audience. And so, they're doing their thing, and then lady walks off the stage, and I'm going, hey, this is pretty good. I'll go on the stage. I walk on the stage, and now this guy. And I walk out on the stage with my microphone, and they're probably thinking I'm going to be the MC of the next part of the show, and I'm going to say, hey, guys, how are you doing? Hey, rah, rah, sis, boom, bop. You want to see the ladies? Yeah. You want to have a good time? Yeah. Okay, drinks cost this, this cost that. We're open these hours, blah, blah, blah. And here comes the dancer next, blah, blah, blah. That's what they're expecting. Right? But what they did not know was that I was actually a comedian, and I was supposed to do some jokes while they set up the next set of pyrotechnics and lights for the next lady. Because in this particular place, they didn't have it set up where they could have everything up there simultaneously. They literally have the, you know, like a Broadway show, they kind of have to pull these things, like an award show, I should say. You know, they have one act comes out and they have the screens and explosions and all of that. And then when they go to commercial, the people come out to do a scheduled bit. The host will come out and joke around with the audience for a little bit. They'll do some awards that have nothing to do with performing. And then while they're doing that out in the front, the people in the back will move that old equipment out and move the next equipment in. So they're probably expecting that to happen, you know, at the show. So they're figuring, okay, I'll tolerate this kid. I figured they're going to tolerate me for maybe 30 seconds because that's what happened. I tell one Joe, and they go, come on, man, we want to see the, and they use the word that I'm not going to use on this podcast. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to laugh that off. And it's what I'm thinking in my mind. And I'm going to continue on with this bit. And then they go, come on, punk, get off. Hey, if you ain't taking nothing off, then you need to get off. Another guy in the back, I don't want to see him taking nothing off. Ha, yeah, he ain't no girl. Get off that stage, punk. You can either get off or I can bounce this bottle off your head. Right? So I walk off, right, and I go in the back, and the next lady comes up, and she, yeah! They see the lady, and they're all excited. Yeah, girl! Boom, boom, boom. Show that thing, and shake that stuff, and do that thing. And she's on stage, boom, boom, jiggy, boom. And the guy, yeah, girl! Woo, woo, woo! And I'm in the back, realizing I gotta go on 87 more times. Right? And each time I go on stage, it's worse. Right? The lady walks off stage. Yeah, you're delicious. Yeah, what a babe. What a woman. Now here comes the guy that's underage that we let in the building anyway because he doesn't realize we're paying him less. And that's why we let his stupid young behind in the building in the first place. He's going to come up on stage and try to entertain you even though you want to see nude women. Here's the punk kid again. That's not what they said, but they might as well have said that. I walk back on stage. Oh, not this kid again. Get off. Come on, man. I'd rather see the stage empty. I spit out my drink and cough all over myself. Wasn't alcohol. I'm on stage. I don't even know why I took a drink up there. A prop? Oh, go from the drink and try to stand there with the drink and be cool. Hey, guys, what's going on? I'm coughing all over the place because I'm nervous. You're yelling louder. Get off! Get out of here! Get the... I'm on one stage. Anyway, guys, some funny stuff happened. Ain't nothing funny! Get off, punk! Die! Get off! Die! 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 I see one guy about to throw something, and luckily that my time to be tortured is up. I walk back off the stage. I walk in the back, and the lady's like, you're a sweet kid and everything, you know. You know, you don't let them get to you. You don't let them get to you, okay? And they're all hugging me. They're also topless, so I'm really enjoying these hugs, right? They're all kissing me in the face, and I'm like, oh, this is great. A bunch of super attractive topless women are kissing me and hugging me. I mean, even though this is a horrible experience, being on stage, nearly being murdered by a bunch of dudes who just want to see hot women, the same hot women that they can't touch are now hugging and kissing on me and sitting in my lap and telling me how cute I am, and I got lipstick on my face, and okay, you know what? Screw it, man. I'm going to be here for a few more hours, and every time I walk off the stage, these super attractive women start kissing and hugging on me and telling me how great I am, and this is the greatest and incredible, right? Go back on stage. Get off, punk! Die! Ah, kill you!
We'll be back right after this short break. And now, back to the show.
Ah, I better not see you after the show, punk! Die! Ah, die! Kill! Deal! Get off! Get off! That one guy starts throwing ice at me. Get off of there! Ah! I walk back off stage, and the meaner they are, the nicer the ladies are to me in the back. You're such a sweetheart. Kissing on me. Other two ladies are hugging me. Right? Then I go back on stage. And this was the moment I realized that I'm going to be pretty good at doing comedy. I walk back on stage, and at this point, I'm so upset by the fact that they're being viciously mean to me. I mean, if you really think about it, the times I was actually on stage was only a few minutes at a time, and they should have known. They've been to this club before. They know that I'm only up on stage while they're moving the different special effects for the different dances to come on. There's no reason to be mean to me. Imagine if you were in a restaurant, right? You're in a restaurant, and the meal you want is taking a little bit longer. It's just a fact of life. It's not coming as fast as you want it to. It's coming as fast as it needs to be prepared. So you're a little impatient, right? And then the waitress comes out and they hand you a soda. You didn't ask for the soda. They just give you a soda while you're waiting. While you're waiting for the food to be prepared, here's a complimentary soda, right? In that particular situation, you wouldn't look at the soda and go, "Get this soda off the table! I don't want that crap!" and smack it on the floor. You wouldn't do that. No, you'd either drink the soda and go, "Oh, I had a free soda, I'll drink it." Or you go, "Okay, thanks a lot." You'd be polite to the waitress and you just put the soda in the middle of the table. Maybe you don't want that soda, but you wouldn't smack it onto the floor. Well, say she comes back out. It's almost done, but you know what? While you're waiting for it, here's some crab fries or some crab biscuits or whatever the hell kind of appetizer they have. You wouldn't go, "Get that crap out of here!" and smack it on the floor. No, you'd probably take a little nibble of the biscuit. You'd probably eat a little bit of the biscuits and drink a little bit of the soda. Or maybe you'd even put the biscuits in the doggy bag, right? Try to get it to take the soda home, maybe drink it later. You'd probably do that, but you wouldn't smack it on the floor. And in this particular situation, I was the soda and I was the biscuit. You didn't have to smack me on the floor. And now I'm upset. Now I'm pissed off. I'm going back on the stage mad, right? Who are these idiots to treat me like that? I'm just some punk kid, and I wasn't mean to anybody. And I'm actually a good comic. I've been doing it for like a year or so. I'm actually pretty good. Every other place I go to, I kill, and I get my applause breaks and standing ovations every place else. I come here, you treat me like crap. I ain't got time for this junk. I go back up on the stage and they're all like, "Yeah, I can't." And now I don't care. Before I cared what they thought. Now I don't give a crap what they think. And I start insulting them. Right? One guy says, "Yeah, well, you're not that bad." I go, "Yeah, well, how about at least a bop, bop, bop?" Right? And he looks back at me like, "Oh, what?" I'm like, "What, the kid?" I thought the kid was scared. Now he's attacking me back, right? And I start tearing these guys apart. Not in a really mean way, in a witty way. I don't remember what I said. This 30-something years ago. But I'm hitting them and I'm just verbally slicing these dudes up, right? Really surgically. Not mean, but surgical. Surgical strikes, right? And one guy and some guys in the back, the guy, I think it was the guys in the back that were going to throw the thing at me. Maybe it might have been the guy that threw the ice. He starts laughing. He goes, "Ha, ha, got you that time, buddy." Right? And a couple of guys goes, "Yeah, he did get you. It was pretty good, kid. Pretty good, kid." Right? And now the more I slice these dudes up, the more they're liking it. Not as a group, but individual parts of the audience are liking it a little bit. Right? Right? And I walk off the stage. In the back, and the next lady comes on, and now all of a sudden, the ladies are looking at me like, "Okay, kid, you got that? You got him, kid. You got him, right?" And of course, they're still hugging and kissing on me, which is fantastic, right? But now even more so because they're proud of me. They were trying to console me, but now they're proud of me now. Oh yeah. And I still got to go up a whole bunch more times. I go back up the next time, and they're not going, "Get over it!" They're not yelling this time. They're just kind of looking at me like, "Okay, let's see what you got this time, kid," right? So I walk on stage, and this time I'm bouncing them, banging them around again, joking with them again, back and forth with the audience again, and they're starting to like it. And now they laugh as a group a couple of times, right? And I walk off the stage, and I get a smattering of applause from the crowd that hated me. A smattering of applause. And this keeps going on and going. And each time I come back, they laugh harder and harder. And now it gets to the point where they go, the lady comes off the stage, and they're like, "Yeah!" Right? And I come back on stage and they clap. "Oh, okay, kid, what you got now?" And then I start doing actual jokes from my act, and they're laughing hard. I mean hard. They're laughing like they were a regular comedy club audience. These are the same people that wanted to beat me up in the parking lot, and now they're laughing hard. I get applause breaks. I say, "Okay, that's my time," and I walk off the stage, and they're like, "Oh." They said, "Oh," as I walked off the stage, knowing a naked woman who was delicious was coming on stage. They still went, "Oh," not because they didn't want to see that lady again, but because they were enjoying the experience. This kid who they hated 3 hours earlier, now all of a sudden, he's great. They can't wait to see this kid. I walk off stage, lady does her thing, they go nuts, "Yay!" Right? I walk back up on the stage, they're clapping now as I walk on stage. And now I do a combination of breaking their stones and bits from my act. And I had a lot of material. I always have a lot of material. And now it's a fun experience. Now they're looking forward to me when they come back. Now they lean forward when I walk back up. And after that series of shows is over with and that booking was over with, I'm going home on the train. And I'm thinking, man, that's about as That's about as bad as it could get. As a comic, they have several hundred people who just want to see woman after woman after woman after woman after woman after woman after woman walk on stage naked, and they hated you, hated me. And I'm not talking about, I don't want you up there. I'm talking about hate. I'm talking about if camera phones existed back then and I could have taken a picture of the audience and recorded what they were saying and recorded the looks on their face and recorded a bunch of people ready to throw shot glasses at me, if I could have shown just that picture, it would have been a hashtag right now. Don't do that to the kid. Hashtag don't kill the kid. It would have been that. But it went from that to them being sorry that the show was over. It went from that, from them wanting to beat me up in the parking lot, to them ripping off labels from their beers and me signing them. And they're saying, when you coming back, kid? I didn't have the heart to tell them, I ain't coming back and pushing my luck. But that was a turnaround, and I didn't think I had the ability to do that. And I don't think just anybody could have done that. Only the kind of people that would do it were people who were supposed to be comedians. And that's when I knew. I said, dude, if you can do that, if you can deal with that, if you can deal with a room full of people wanting to stomp you in the parking lot to damn near giving you back rubs and foot rubs when you walk out the door after the show, if you can do that, then you're supposed to be doing comedy. And that's why I'm still doing it. Now, like I said, I don't know who, well, I know who asked the question. I just don't have... you know, you got to give me permission to either use your voice or use your name in the email. So I'm not going to use your name, but you know who you are, and that's the answer to your question. Folks, I love doing this podcast, and I want to thank you guys for your support. I'm going to keep doing this. Much love to everybody. This is the S. Anthony Thomas Show, and thank you. See you next time. Alright, everybody, thank you very, very much for stopping back. Much appreciated. Much love to you all. If you want to send in a question or a comment, please do so. Go to the Anchor page for this particular podcast, and I will answer them, or maybe I'll include them into the show. And if you wanted to send an email, send the email to talktosanthony@gmail.com. TalkTo, and then my name, santhony@gmail.com. Much love to you all. I look forward to talking to you again, and I will see you later. Take care.